Greetings and welcome to Spookorama Radio. On this episode, we solve a mystery with the Scooby Gang. So turn down the lights, pull the shade, put the parents to bed. It's time to get spooky.
Hello everyone and welcome to another edition of Spookorama Radio. This is the second episode and today we're going to be looking into a very old school kind of spookiness called Scooby-Doo. Where are you? I'm your host, Ron the Ripper. And with me, straight from her cave in the woods where she lives part-time, in order to avoid being taxed on her income, Little Miss Horror Nerd. How's life in the cave? How's life in the cave?
It's great.
Is it better than living in the city?
If I want peace and quiet, sure.
You think there's peace and quiet in the woods with all of the creatures running around, with all the Bigfoot running around, with the Slender Man breathing down your neck?
Well, there's no people, there's no construction, there's no music. I mean, it is pretty quiet except for animal sounds, so.
You would take your chances with the Slender Man versus noises of the city.
Yeah, we don't know that Slender Man lives in the woods.
Well, do we? Have you seen him?
No, but so we don't know. He might not. I'm not afraid of him anyway, so who cares?
You're not afraid of the Slender Man. Okay.
I'm not.
The question everyone's wondering right now, Little Miss Horror Nerd, is have you gotten past night two of Five Nights at Freddy's?
No.
Still, to this day, you still haven't gotten past night two?
Nope, I have not.
After all of the hints and tricks that we've taught you, you still remain on night two.
Yeah, Ron, yeah. What hints and tricks are we talking about? Because I have no memory of this.
Well, maybe we'll have a little better luck today, because I think you're a little more well-versed in today's topic than you were at Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah, well, because this is my childhood, not somebody else's.
Yeah, because do you remember this little TV show called Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?
Of course I do.
Because you were in college back when this came out?
Yeah, Ron, because I was in college. You're just digging a deeper hole for yourself. No, actually, this was out. This started before I was born because it started in 1969. And I believe that the Scooby-Doo, Where Are You portion of Scooby-Doo was already done its run by the time I was born.
So we should mention that Scooby-Doo has been on TV in some form or another for the most part since 1969. That's right. Before my time, even before Little Miss Horror Nerd's time, it's like our parents' time. When our parents were children.
What?
You don't have parents, so.
Yes, I do.
You were born from some sort of demon spawn opened up in the earth and out came Little Miss Horror Nerd.
No, my mother was like 27 when Scooby-Doo started, so I don't think she was watching this. Your mother's a little younger than mine, so this may be a...
Our parents were watching Scooby-Doo, Where Are You, in their youth, because they loved it. It was the best thing on TV. What they were watching, maybe, possibly, but probably not your parents, in the mid to late 1960s, there was a lot of superhero cartoon programming. Mm-hmm. Stuff like Space Ghosts. Do you remember the Space Ghost?
I do. I don't know that I watched that, but I do remember it.
Stuff like the Herculoids.
I didn't watch that.
And you know what happens with these 1960s superhero cartoons?
No, Ron, why don't you tell us what happens?
Parents get upset because they're very violent. Because superheroes are violent. They punch people and they shoot people and they kill people. And they throw people into space.
I don't think our parents cared, actually. I think today's parents care. But...
Well, you're wrong, because a bunch of parent groups complained to Hanna-Barbera and said, your programming is too violent for our children.
Okay.
Please don't show them throwing people into space. That's not right. They'll think they can throw people into space, and they can't.
Well, they should have been, I mean, if they're complaining about superheroes, what about the Roadrunner and the Coyote?
That was Warner Brothers. We're talking about Hanna-Barbera here.
Anyway, I'm just saying in general, that was a violent cartoon.
Okay, maybe they complain about that too. I don't know. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these superhero programs. Get with the program. Are you in the apartment? Are you still in the cave? Can you hear me right now?
Yes.
All right. So despite what you think, the parents were like, we can't have our children watching people get thrown into space. This is wrong. In response to that, Hanna-Barbera, the company that created Scooby-Doo, said, well, we need to get rid of these superhero cartoons, I guess. Got rid of them. They said, we need some more programs. At the time, there was a cartoon called The Archies that was doing really well. So well, in fact, that The Archies, which was a cartoon, released a song that became number one hit in 1969. It was your anthem, Sugar Sugar. We know how you like the sugar. You get hyped up on the sugar. You start yelling at people. You run the bears out of the caves.
Oh, wow.
You start headbanging.
I thought you were going to say it was because I'm sweet, but instead you turned it into an insult. So thanks a lot.
So we need a show. We need another show like this Archie's deal. So Hanna-Barbera said the people make the show, and then we get something called Mysteries 5. Have you heard of the show Little Miss Hornard?
No, I have not heard of that.
Mysteries 5. Now bear with me here. We're going to get to the Scooby-Doo. But now we're going to talk about Mysteries 5. Mysteries 5 was about a group of teenagers. Five of them, in fact. Named Jeff, Mike, Kelly, Linda, and Kelly's brother, WW. Because that's a cool name. And they had a dog called Too Much. Do you know why the dog was called Too Much, Little Miss Hornard?
No, but I think I have heard of this, actually. But no, I don't know the answer to that.
Because a popular saying at the time was, you're just too much.
Oh.
So the dog would do something funny, you see. And the other characters would be like, ha-ha, you're just too much. And these teenagers, they were a band that played music. Too Much played the bongo drums. Have you ever seen a dog play the bongo drums?
I have not.
Seems a little crazy, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know what they did in their spare time in between gigs?
No, I have no idea.
They solved the mysteries. Hence the name, The Mysteries 5. And Too Much was originally a sheepdog. Because they wanted him to be a Great Dane, but they thought, hey, that looks too much like Marmaduke. Make him a sheepdog. So that didn't fly. They pitched this to Hanna-Barbera. Hanna-Barbera said, what the hell? What is this? What do you show me here? WW? Yeah, get that out of my face. So they changed the show up a little bit. They dropped one of the teenage characters. They changed the dog to a Great Dane. So now they got a new cartoon with characters like Fred, Daphne, Velma, Shaggy, and Too Much. Still Too Much. It was called Who's Scared? That's a stupid name for a cartoon. Who's going to say that? So they pitch this again to Hanna-Barbera. Hanna-Barbera says, no, this is too scary. This is going to scare the children. We don't want to scare the children. The children like to watch cartoons. So they revamp it once more. They drop the fact that this is a rock band. Too Much becomes Scooby-Doo based on a song by Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra Kids is a singer that your great-grandparents liked. They want to put more of the focus on Shaggy and Scooby because they're kind of funny. We're gonna ham it up, make it kind of a comedy with a little bit of mystery involved. And that, my friends, is how you get Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?, debuting in 1969, running for two seasons until Halloween of 1970, because Halloween's a spooky day. And then a third season ran a little bit later. So you've got three seasons of this particular incarnation of Scooby-Doo. There's been about 15 to 16 incarnations of Scooby-Doo. We'll get into some of those later. But for now, we're going to focus on Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?, the original run. Little Miss Horror Nerd, Do you know where Scooby-Doo is?
Do I know where he is?
The question is, Scooby-Doo, where are you? Do you know where Scooby-Doo is?
I don't know, is this some sort of trick question, or...?
I'm just asking the question.
No, I don't know where he is at the moment, no.
Well, he's on your TV screen. It's a cartoon. Where's it going to go?
I don't know. He's not on any... He's not in reruns. You can't get that cartoon anywhere unless you have the DVDs.
I think you see it on Boomerang.
Oh, I don't know.
And there's Scooby-Doo movies all the time on channels. He doesn't have the right channels.
Yeah, but those aren't the same. I'm talking about the Scooby-Doo Where Are You episodes. I haven't seen those anywhere in repeats. They used to be in repeats when I was a kid, but not for a long time I haven't seen them.
Scooby-Doo Where Are You as four teenagers and a dog. We'll start with the easy one, see if you can get this, Little Miss Hornard. What's the name of the dog?
Scooby-Doo.
His name is actually Scoobert Scooby-Doo.
Oh, well, pardon me.
But who wants to talk about a dog named Scoobert?
I don't know.
Scooby is much better. Oh, I'm sorry, is Scoobert around? May I speak with Scoobert?
Nerd.
That's what the show would be like.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about another character. Certain blonde guy who wears an ascot, because you know why he wears an ascot?
I don't know, because he's rich?
I think because he wants to feel like he's with the cool kids, and that was a cool thing to do back then. But we all know that Fred is not cool.
Oh.
Do you know Fred's real name?
I've probably heard it before, but I don't know offhand, no.
Fred Jones.
Ah.
He was the leader of the group. You know how old he was?
18?
In this incarnation of Scooby-Doo, he was 17 years old.
Oh, see?
Which would explain his poor driving skills. Because he was always getting a flat tire, running off the road. Why is Fred still driving the Mystery Machine?
I don't know. I mean, he seems like the best choice. I mean, Velma doesn't have very good vision. Daphne's kind of an airhead, so...
Velma has restriction A on her license.
Does she?
Let's talk about Fred's girlfriend. Because in the Scooby-Doo Where Are You, this was his girlfriend.
Well, I mean, Daphne's kind of...
It changed a little bit later on.
She seems a little airheaded, so...
Do you know Daphne's full name?
No.
Daphne Blake.
Wow. Oh.
And her main thing in the Scooby Gang was that she was danger prone, meaning that she was a klutz, and she always danger always seemed to find her. And she would get you know, kidnapped or fall in a trap or something. And the others would have to save her because she's also the one who provided them with the money. Because her family was wealthy.
Okay, that makes sense.
We all need a Daphne in our lives.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, my family is not rich, but I would have been the Daphne because I would have been the one that was getting kidnapped and falling down. And
this is true. You, to this day, still get kidnapped and fall down into traps and stuff, even when there are no mysteries to solve. She was 16. 16-year-olds should not be allowed to buy those kind of go-go boots Daphne liked to wear.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the brains of the operation. Velma. Do you know Velma's real name?
No.
Velma, not Thelma, with a V, Velma. Velma Dinkley.
Right. Oh, I've heard that one before, too.
Velma is the brains of the operation, also very nearsighted.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've heard this. She can't see a thing without her glasses.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me if you want to take down the Scooby Gang, Velma is probably the most vulnerable. Just make sure she misses her glasses.
Yeah, she actually drops her glasses quite a few, bit over the, time in these episodes.
It becomes a running gag in Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?
Mm-hmm.
I saw one where she was driving a bumper car around an amusement park without her glasses on. Seems very dangerous. Do not attempt this at home, children.
Well, she's so blind that she can't even see the glasses on the floor when she drops them. I mean, it's not like she's looking for a lost contact, which would be really small. She's looking for a pair of glasses, and she can't even see, like, the shape of the glasses.
Yeah, well, Velma has issues.
Yeah, she does.
Velma was 15 during this particular incarnation of the TV show. And I don't know any self-respecting 17-year-old that would hang out with a 15-year-old, just saying. Let's get to Scooby's buddy, Shaggy. Do you know Shaggy's full name?
No, not offhand. This is the one I've heard the most recently, though.
Shaggy's name, actually, for those of you who don't know, is Norval Rogers. And in the original pitch for the show, he was Daphne's brother.
Oh, okay.
But later on, obviously, that changed as he became a focal point for all the comedy stuff. There was some hints that he may be dating Velma. Little inner Scooby Gang relationship drama. In earlier episodes, but that was kind of dropped as well. And Shaggy was also 17, much like Fred was. Scooby himself is a 7-year-old dog.
Okay.
He's eternally 7. As the other characters have gotten older, Scooby stays at 7. Which makes him 49 in dog years, which makes him the oldest. He should probably be driving. Though he has a speech impediment, he would not be well-spoken if he had gotten pulled over by a police officer.
Yeah, I wonder if the age for dogs is more if they are big dogs, because big dogs don't live as long. Big dogs can sometimes, especially at Great Danes, those are really big dogs. They tend to live 8 to 10 years only. I mean, it's possible that one might live longer than that, but that's their lifespan. So.
Well, Scooby-Doo's always 7, so he's good. We should also mention Scooby-Doo is one of a triplet. Did you know this?
Are the other ones the Scooby-Dum and Scooby-Dee or whatever?
No, Scooby-Dum and Scooby-Dee are Scooby-Doo's cousins. Come on, Joe.
Okay.
Come on, little Miss Hornerd.
All right, I thought so, but I don't remember hearing about the triplet thing.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo is a triplet. His triplet brothers are Skippy-Doo and Dooby-Doo.
Oh, that's stupid with dogs. I don't know if you can even have triplets or dogs.
He also has 3 other siblings named Howdy-Doo, Yabba-Doo, and Ruby-Doo.
Oh, my God.
Ruby-Doo would be the mother of Scrappy-Doo.
Oh, Scrappy.
But we'll get into Scrappy a little bit later. It's interesting to mention that most of the characters involved in Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? The Scooby-Doo gang in general over the years have had many voice actors, except for Fred.
Oh, yeah, he's had the same guy, the guy that's done a lot of the different cartoons.
Frank Welker, his first deal, his first job was Fred, and to this day he still voices Fred. Only time he didn't voice Fred in anything was a pup named Scooby-Doo because Fred was a little kid.
Yeah.
And I believe at some point he took over the role for Scooby-Doo as well.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
So just wanted to mention that little trivial tidbit, if you will. Sure. So let's go over, there was, 27 episodes, I think, in the Scooby-Doo Where Are You run, and they all pretty much are the same plot. The gang is in the Mystery Machine, and either their van breaks down, or they get a flat tire, or they take a wrong turn. There's always something around, like a weird house, or some weird barn, or an amusement park, or a swamp that is mostly, for the most part, empty when they're there. Because where are they going? Why are they driving through swamps?
I don't know. Sometimes there's an explanation, and sometimes there isn't.
They're just like, oh, we're just driving through this swamp, and, our tire's flat, so now we're stuck in this swamp. But what are you doing in a swamp, Fred? They need an adult driver, I believe.
Well, you know, the Scooby-Doo Where Are You, the complete series, the one that I have, you know, it says that is 41 episodes and 3 seasons.
Okay.
So, what? I was wondering why you said 27.
I think that's the first 2 seasons is 27.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Sorry.
That third season's kind of a tack on later on.
I see.
It turns out whatever place they're close to has a mystery to be solved. Because there's always a monster hanging around, a ghost, or a witch, or a knight, a robot, vampire. And these guys are always like, hey, you know what? We're going to let's go ahead and solve this mystery for you. We're not going to charge anything because that's what we do. But not charging anything doesn't get your car fixed, does it, Fred?
No, but I guess they don't, you know, they're relying on Daphne, you know, because she has money. So they're like, oh, well, we don't need to charge anything for this.
Yes, this would not, Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Would not take place in the year 2017 because Daphne would just have money wired to her via her cell phone in some way, shape, or form. And there would be no need to solve mysteries because their car would never break down. Maybe it's time to find a new car. The Flower Power Van from the 1960s is about had it. Had a good run.
Well, you know, I wonder if that van was supposed to be... I mean, I don't really think it was, but I was wondering if maybe it was supposed to be one of those VW buses. Because those things notoriously, you know, break down a lot.
No, it's based on an actual van.
Oh, okay.
From the era. I don't know what the van is. I don't know much about cars. I just know that their van is in bad shape. So as they're investigating some sort of mystery, they'll always split up every time. Shaggy and Scooby will have to go by themselves. The majority of the time, occasionally they get Velma. Whereas Fred, Daphne, and mostly Velma will also be on the case. Usually they're the ones finding clues, while Scooby and Shaggy are just looking to avoid finding ghosts because they're very cowardly. And they're very hungry, and they always find the ghosts.
Yeah, but they're always eating, too.
You could do 300 episodes of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Shaggy and Scooby will always find the ghosts first. Usually Shaggy, while Scooby's messing around.
I don't think they're really all that helpful, though. Like, they just... because they get scared, and then
they just keep the ghosts busy while Fred and Velma and Daphne find the clues. All
right.
Well, while Fred and Velma find the clues, then Daphne gets captured. Eventually, they have enough clues, and they're like... and Velma will say, I have solved this mystery. So then, they'll make some sort of elaborate trap that never, ever works out like it's supposed to. You would think after 30 or 40 attempts at making a trap, then maybe they would not do that anymore. What happens is they always have Shaggy or Scooby as bait, or both. Neither ever wants to do it. So they offer Scooby a Scooby snack, which seems to be just a regular dog biscuit. Little Miss Horner, let me ask you this. Have you ever eaten a dog biscuit?
No.
Have you ever eaten a cat treat?
No. Ew. No. Why?
Well, I know they have cats.
Yeah, but it wouldn't taste good. That's not for a person to eat that. Ugh.
What if you're in your apartment and or cave, you're very hungry, and all there is to eat is cat treats?
No.
You wouldn't eat a cat treat to survive?
Well,
are you that haughty that you wouldn't eat a cat treat to survive?
Not really. Cat treats and diabetes probably wouldn't work out for me. I'd probably...
How do we know? We haven't tried. Experimentation is the root of all invention.
Well,
maybe cat treats are the cure for diabetes.
Yeah, Ron, if that's the case, you gotta try that and see how that works
out. I don't have diabetes.
You'll turn into a millionaire because you've discovered a new cure. But
well, next time you come to my house, I'm going to give you cat treats. And then we'll see if the diabetes survives.
You're a knucklehead.
I have eaten a dog biscuit.
Sure you have.
In fact, I've eaten several dog biscuits.
That's because you're a dog.
You're a bad dog. They were a lot cheaper than just getting regular snacks.
Oh, my gosh.
When I was in school. No, I ate several dog biscuits on a dare.
I'm sure that was the case.
And as long as they're not flavored, you're cool. It just tastes like stale bread. So if you're listening, children, if you're listening, spooky people, and someone says, I bet you won't eat a dog biscuit, be like, I'll eat one for $5 and just eat it. It's not that bad.
Well, I will say this. If you go to some of the, like, the more...
I'll eat a dog biscuit right now.
I believe you.
I am eating a dog biscuit right now.
I don't think they have these at PetSmart, but it, sometimes if you go to independent or some of the fancier pet shop places that sell stuff for pets, they have like dog biscuit type treats that they make look like things that we eat. Like it looks like a cookie or it looks like a cupcake or something like that. Yeah. And I've wondered, do they taste any different?
Do you, well, eat one.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea.
If you go to the pet store and they have the little doggy treats in the counter that they give to the doggies, they won't give you one if you ask. Or so I've heard.
I was just curious if those ones taste any different than the ones that you buy in the store for your dog. That's all.
Well, they must taste like heaven because Scooby would do literally anything for a Scooby snack.
That's very true.
They're like, Scooby, why don't you set yourself on fire and then run into this swinging blade and jump into a pool of lemon juice? No, I'm not doing that. That sounds stupid. You'll do it for a Scooby snack, won't you? Yeah. Sometimes he holds out for two new Scooby snacks.
Yeah.
But not very often. Now, here's the issue with Shaggy. Because sometimes Shaggy also has to be convinced. And whereas I ate a dog biscuit based on a dare, which I did not receive any money. So I should have been smarter back in the day. Shaggy will put himself in perilous danger for a dog biscuit. That seems counterintuitive to me.
Probably so.
Every once in a while, they'll have a Shaggy snack. I don't know what that is. I really think they just took some of the dog biscuits out of the Scooby snack box and put it into a bag and called it Shaggy snacks, because Shaggy isn't really the smartest tool or the sharpest tool in the shed. So they're like, oh, it's a Shaggy snack. And he's like, oh, well then. And then he gets very excited and does stupid stuff in order to get a Shaggy snack, which I think is just a repackaged Scooby snack.
Yeah, probably. I don't think they're buying any special snacks for Shaggy.
So Shaggy and Scooby are always the bait, which is kind of weird because, you know, it's Daphne that usually falls into traps and stuff. They should have her do it every once in a while. Because Shaggy and Scooby always screw it up. Something always happens. The scary person is never captured in the trap. Usually Shaggy or Scooby is captured in the trap. But in the end, it all works out and the villain is captured somehow or another, and we found out it's not really a creature from the bottom of the ocean. It's really just a guy in a costume.
Well, I'll tell you what. I love this cartoon. It is my favorite cartoon ever, but that was the one thing that I did not like about it. Well, which one?
There wasn't real monsters?
Yeah, like I kept, every time I would watch an episode, you know, that I hadn't seen before, I would always hope that, you know, this would be the time where they would go to take off someone's mask and it would actually be a creature and not a person in a mask. And that was never the case.
Right. And so, even when you watched the reruns, you thought that maybe this time.
Yes, Ron. That's what I thought.
It would be an actual monster.
Yeah. Because I don't retain anything I watch.
Well, we know that.
Oh, you be quiet.
Occasionally, there was the rare occurrence of a double mask. Do you remember these?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would be, oh, it's Old Man Smithers. Or the, you know, the dinosaur that's been trying to scare everybody off as Old Man Smithers, the janitor from the amusement park. And then Velma would be like, not quite so. And then pull off another mask and be like, no, it's this guy. And I'm like, what? So this guy had a mask made of Old Man Crithers, put it on, and then put another mask on top of that. How can this guy see?
That's pretty creepy, too.
And it's got to be really hot in there.
And I will say that while the intention, like you were saying, they came up with this because people were complaining that the, you know, other cartoons were too violent. There was no violence in this, but there was people like in peril or in danger at times. And when I was a kid, I kind of thought it was a little bit on the creepy, spooky side. I mean,
I was going to ask. Because, you know, at this day and age, things are a little more edgy, I believe. Is Scooby-Doo spooky? Is it creepy? Yeah. Is it spooky for our spooky people who are listening?
I think it is. I mean, I don't know what children that are, you know, that age now think of something like that. But to me, I mean, that was my scary fix because I wasn't allowed to see, like, the modern horror movies when I was a kid. So I watched Scooby-Doo, and I thought it was creepy, sure. I thought that it was creepy even the way that they shot it, you know, even the way that it looked. Like, it was always dark. It was always foggy and, you know, just that kind of thing. Like, I don't remember too many episodes there being much, if any, daylight, so.
Well, I think it was creepy because of the background.
Mm-hmm.
There's some really cool, like, creepy haunted houses and swamp mm-hmm. scenes and scary, like, right. amusement parks and settings, scary inside yeah. mansions or on ships, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I thought the villains looked scary until they were demasked.
Sure.
All of the vampires and werewolves and various things looked pretty cool and until Velma had to go ruin everything. Is it, is it on the super scary side? No, you're not gonna watch it and be like, oh, that scared me. Mm-hmm. No, it's a cartoon, so it's a comedy.
Yeah, there was comedy in it, sure.
So that's the basic breakdown of what would happen on the original Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? First two seasons for a third season added in as well for 41 total episodes. In the first two seasons, there was 27 villains. Of the 27 villains unmasked, Little Miss Horror Nerd, 23 of them did it all for the money. They were trying to find treasure, or they were trying to keep other people from treasure. It was all about the money back then.
Mm-hmm.
That was the motivation for most of our villains. Nobody wants to be creepy just for creepy's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing as well about Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Like, going back and rewatching these, it's pretty obvious who the villain is. You can figure it out. Because usually they're the only other people that's been introduced on the show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, at least give us three and have one of them be the bad guy. Most of the time it's just, you know, in the Witch is Witch
episode. I like that episode. Yeah, I like that.
Takes place in a swamp. There's only two other guys that are introduced in the whole episode. And there's two bad guys. So who do you think is the bad guy? I don't think it's going to be Fred and Daphne.
I also like the one, I forget, it's something with the word big top in it, and it's a clown. There's a clown, like a ghost clown. I like that one a lot, too.
Because you like ghost clowns, because those are the two probably most frightening things to anybody on the face of the planet. You'd like to double up. Not scary enough for you. A regular clown's not scary enough for you. Give me a ghost clown any day of the week.
Yeah, I like a scary clown, sure.
So let's take a little break here. You ready for a little break, Little Miss Horror Nerd?
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a good word, now that we're speaking about the villains of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? That my cousin, you know, my cousin? Are you familiar with him?
Yeah.
Have you met him?
Uh-huh.
You'd like him. He doesn't smell good. And he has he has fleas, like your cats. So
my cats do not have fleas.
They will after my cousin gets over to your house.
Yeah, no, then keep him away. No,
or don't have him, you know, hanging out, playing.
No, I don't want to hang out with Larry T. Werewolf if he's got fleas.
Playing the Nintendo.
No, he needs to get some revelation.
Netflix and chill at Little Miss Horror, the nerd's house.
Yeah, let him Netflix and chill with somebody else that's got fleas, but it won't be me.
Well, he is a very big fan of the Scooby-Doo, Where Are You villains. And I believe he's even going to share with us at this moment Mr. Larry T. Werewolf's top five villains of the Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Seasons.
You are such a nerd.
Hey, babies, it's Larry T. Werewolf again. I'm back on the podcast, and I'm here to tell you the top five villains of the Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? TV show. Now, old Larry T, he liked him a villain or two. The villains are the most interesting part of any movie or TV show. And Larry T has to be the one to tell you about the villains because everybody else is too scared. They're too much into Scooby-Dooby-Doo and Fred and his little ascot to talk about the villains. Now, let me tell you, I got a kinship with Scooby-Dooby-Doo because I know that he can make a very large sandwich and take it down like a pro. Now, Larry T prefer a sandwich made of human bone, but Scooby-Dooby-Doo can do what Scooby-Dooby-Doo want to do. So now, without further ado, let's talk about the top five crazy, scary, spooky villains of the Scooby-Doo Where Are You TV show. Coming in at number five is the Headless Spectre. Now, I don't know if you know what the Headless Spectre looks like, but he ain't got no head. What happened to his head? Why doesn't this man have a head? Now, a specter is like a ghost. So this is a ghost without a head. You would think that when you become a ghost, maybe you get your head back. Seemed like a pretty bad deal to old Larry T if you're going to be a ghost and they're still going to keep your head. Now, the Headless Spectre appeared in the episode The Haunted House Hang Up. Now, of course, the Headless Spectre is going to be in a haunted house because he's a ghost. Any house he is in is automatically haunted because he's a ghost. I don't know how the Headless Spectre can see where he's going because he ain't got no head. Now, the Headless Spectre's main job was to protect the treasure that was hidden in his haunted house. Now, you would think the Headless Spectre would not need to protect the treasure. What does a ghost need with a treasure? He needs to buy a head. That's why he needs a treasure for. But how are you going to find somebody to sell you a head if you're a ghost? But enough about this crazy headless joke of a man. Let's move on to number four. Number four are the Phantom Shadows. From the episode, A Night of Fright is No Delight. Now, Larry T got a problem with the name of the episode because Larry T kind of like A Night of Fright and do think it's a delight. Now, these ghosts, there was more than one of these phantom shadows. Kind of seems a little redundant. Phantom means kind of shadow. A shadow is kind of phantomy. So these guys not very creative with their names, the Phantom Shadows, but they're kind of spooky looking. They got green. They all made out of green. They got the spooky jack-o'-lantern faces inside this dark mask under the green. They're carrying the chains around like all the ghosts of old. How these ghosts can carry around chains, I do not know. The scary thing about the Phantom Shadows is not only do they got this ghostly robe, this green ghostly robe all over them, but their arms are sticking out, meaning there's something even uglier underneath those green robes. And Larry T. Werewolf don't need to know something so ugly that you gotta wear a robe over your face to cover up your ugliness. Larry T. is a very good looking man. Those chains gotta be heavy. This is probably why the Phantom Shadows got a unpleasant disposition, unlike Larry T, who's a very friendly guy. But don't catch old Larry T on the full moon. That's a little tip for you babies out there. Number three from the episode Bedlam in the Big Top. It's the Ghost Clown. Think about that. Now, Larry T don't particularly care for ghosts. Ghosts ain't nothing happening good with a ghost. But Larry T knows clowns are up to no good. Larry T ain't never met a clown that was anything but mischievous and trying to cause trouble. Now you take those two things, you put them together, you got a ghost, you got a clown. These are the two scariest things in the world to some people. You put them together, you got the multiple scary things going on at once. Not like Larry T, but somebody else might pee their pants. Ghost, clown, clown, ghost, anywhere you put it. Oh, Larry T's a little uncomfortable thinking about it. Now, in this episode, this is a clown that is a ghost hanging out at the circus, because where else do you find clowns except for the circus and the creepiest places in the world? Now the one thing Larry T like even less than a ghost and a clown is the ghost clown that got bad jokes. This guy could not tell a joke. He was a failure as a clown. That's why he became a ghost. And even as a ghost clown, he cannot tell a good joke. He liked to laugh at his bad jokes. If that just means your joke is so bad, nobody else laughing but you, ghost clown. Now the ghost clown had this special ability. He could hypnotize you with this little gold coin. And now he's got complete and total control over you. Let me tell you this about old Larry T. Somebody tried to hypnotize Larry T one time and make him bark like a chicken. It did not work. Old Larry T done bit that gut. Larry T took care of business. Let's all move on to number two before Larry T gets so upset at this ghost clown that he stopped breaking stuff. Number two is the spooky space kook. Kook. It's spooky. It's from space and it's a kook. The spooky space kook is from the episode Spooky Space Kook. He's such a bad dude, the whole episode was named after him because he's such a kook. The spooky space kook looked like an astronaut with blue outfit on and a floating skull inside his astronaut uniform. This is a scary, scary kook. Larry T think this man is more than just kooky, you kooky babies out there. Larry T liked the word kook because it's not as scary as a ghost or a clown. Now, Larry T liked the spooky space kook that so much that he gonna invite the spooky space kook to lunch sometime. We're gonna have a little lunch, Larry T and the kook. Kook on this. And for the number one villain in the Scooby-Doo, Where Are You TV series from the episode, Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Werewolf, is my great uncle, the werewolf. He used to sit old Larry T down by a fire and tell him about the days that he used to run and scare around Scooby-Doo and the Scooby-Dooby-Dooby gang. Now, he's not quite as handsome as old Larry T, but he got a bad sense of fashion to go with it, so it all kind of works out. He got crazy hair. He's a little green because he did not eat right as a child, and his eyes are red because he does not get enough sleep because he's a old-fashioned werewolf. Now my great uncle, Big Bad Werewolf, he might have been a little shady. Maybe he went up to no good all the time, living in a swamp. But nobody want to feel the wrath of a werewolf, especially a werewolf related to Larry T. And that is the story of my great uncle, the Big Bad Werewolf, who still gets Christmas cards from Scooby-Dooby.
Greetings and welcome to Spookorama Radio. On this episode, we solve a mystery with the Scooby Gang. So turn down the lights, pull the shade, put the parents to bed. It's time to get spooky.
I do to this day, now that he's even still old and gray, still got a bad sense of fashion, but he related to old Larry T. And that, babies, is the top five villains in the Scooby-Doo Where Are You TV show. Now, I know Larry T is your favorite part of the podcast, but Larry T got to be going. Larry T got some stuff got to be done. The next full moon is coming soon. So until next time, babies, stay scary. Scary like Larry.
There you have it. The top five villains of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? As told by Larry T. Werewolf, who may or may not be flea-ridden.
I'll send him some Revolution.
He needs a flea collar.
No, we don't do flea collars anymore. We do Revolution or something of the like. It's just
Revolution.
A little. Yeah.
We all need like a Revolution.
No, it's like a little bit of oil and you put it on the back of the animal's neck and it kills the fleas just die right away. And then you don't have to worry
about it. Is that why you always have on the back of your neck when I see you? It's like a little oily back there. What is that?
Yeah, Ron, because I have fleas.
Yeah. So many people listening may not. They probably know the basis of Scooby-Doo Radio. Yeah, there's five people or four people and a dog, and they solve mysteries, and it's never the actual. They probably know that. But here's the thing: like Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Is just one version of Scooby-Doo that ran for a couple of years. Many other versions of Scooby-Doo came and went. Are you familiar with these? Some of these, Little Miss Hornard?
I'll tell you if you ask me.
Well, after Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? We got something called the New Scooby-Doo Movies.
And this
Where the gang solved the mystery in an hour. But they always had a guest star. It wasn't just Scooby and Shaggy. They always had Batman and Robin, I believe.
Yep.
A bunch of people that no one listening to this podcast would ever know.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Yeah, these are all, a lot of them are people who are passed away.
Are from the 60s and 70s. The Addams Family, they might know that one.
Oh, and they might know Cher. They might know Cher because Sonny and Cher were on an episode, but I don't know that they would know Sonny.
The Harlem Globetrotters, they're still around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this ran for a couple of years on CBS, and then Scooby-Doo moved to ABC for a while, where we got the Scooby-Doo Show and Scooby's All-Star Laugh Olympics. Are you familiar with these, Little Miss Hornard?
Yeah, it was like more than just the Scooby-Doo cartoon. It was a couple of things, right?
The Scooby-Doo Show had the Scooby-Doo Show had a Scooby-Doo cartoon, and then usually another cartoon, Dino Mutt, something like that. But these were very similar to the Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? They're a little exaggerated. This is where we meet people like Scooby-Dumb and Scooby-Dee, who was the cousin of Scooby-Doo and Scooby-Dumb.
I hated Scooby-Dumb. He was so stupid.
Dumb.
Oh, he was the worst.
And then we got Scooby's All-Star Laugh Olympics. This was a parody of Olympics with Scooby-Doo fronting a team, Yogi Bear fronting a team, and then Dastardly Dick, the evil Rottens, would have a team of just bad guys. And these are pretty, I think they're pretty funny. But something very terrible started to happen in 1979. Scooby-Doo's number started to go down, and the networks were like, oh man, we can't have Scooby-Doo's numbers going down, or we'll have to cancel Scooby-Doo. That's like the guy who canceled Christmas. That's not a good thing. So they said, you know, we need to revitalize this show. Do you know what we need to make Scooby-Doo relevant again? We need his nephew, Scrappy-Doo. Who was a little puppy version of Scooby-Doo with a completely different attitude. And he was very, very annoying. And no one in the world likes Scrappy-Doo. If you like Scrappy-Doo, if you're listening right now and you like Scrappy-Doo, you need to write to us at spookaramaradio@gmail.com and defend your boy, Scrappy-Doo. Shortly after that, they decided the money was in Scrappy-Doo, so we get the Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo shorts, where we lose Fred, Daphne, and Velma completely. Then we get the new Scooby and Scrappy-Doo show, which brought Daphne back, and they started solving mysteries again. Previously, they were just basically doing comedy stuff. After that, in the mid-80s, we get the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo, which is really messed up. This is the most messed up version of Scooby-Doo. Are you familiar with the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo, Little Miss Hornard?
I am, but I don't know. I don't know that I've seen those episodes enough to really, like, that's not one I watched more over and over or anything.
Well, the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo saw Daphne, Shaggy, Scooby, Scrappy, and their new buddies, Flim Flam, who was a genie, and Vincent Van Gogh, a horror icon, traveling the globe, to try to capture 13 of the most terrifying ghosts upon the face of the earth.
Yeah, if I've seen these episodes, I don't remember any of them.
After that, we get a pup named Scooby-Doo, which is a small child version of the Scooby Gang. In the late 80s, early 90s, there was a big push on making your cartoon characters into children after the success of the Muppet Babies. And Scooby-Doo was no different. From here on out, in the 90s, we start getting the Scooby-Doo direct-to-video films, and I think this is where we start getting, like, actual paranormal creatures.
I don't know. There's this Scooby-Doo at Zombie Island or something, and I know for a fact that one, and that was like a movie or whatever, that on that one they actually had real monsters, and I was told they kill people in that, so I don't know.
Well, I'm talking about, and this is in the, yeah, this is in the 90s. I think that was one of the, maybe one of the ones.
I mean, that's not like an episode, that's a movie.
That's what I'm saying, these are movies, that's what I said.
Yeah.
So they're dealing with actual paranormal creatures now. Like, I saw a zombie on a Scooby-Doo film take his head off and use it like a basketball, and I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, that might be the Zombie Island one, because people were complaining that that was too violent for children in the reviews.
Well, people complain that you're too violent for children, but we still keep you on.
I don't remember anyone saying that.
Well, I didn't tell you.
Oh, I see.
Then you get a couple of live-action theatrical films that kind of revitalize the franchise. And we get a bunch of new cartoons based on Scooby-Doo. What's New Scooby-Doo? Shaggy and Scooby get a clue. And then a new show that's been pretty well-received called Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated. A 52-episode sort of a deal that I probably need to check out. And a lot of direct-to-video episodes. I mean, Scooby-Doo's still going strong here. Almost 50 years later. It's going to be 50 years in a couple years, though, with Scooby-Doo. Was around.
Yeah, I watched the Scooby-Doo. There was like a Scooby-Doo, like I want to say a Lego movie. I watched that. That was cute.
Sure, but because that Lego movies is a cool thing now, and like everything else, Scooby-Doo has his own version of Legos. Mm-hmm. If you thought Five Nights at Freddy's was over-merchandised, you've not seen nothing yet until you see everything that has Scooby-Doo's name on it.
Yeah. But none of the other shows didn't catch on for me. Like, I've tried watching some of the other new Scooby-Doo incarnations, not including the movies. I have watched some of the movies, and I watched the live-action movies, too. But just, like, the new show incarnations, and they've never really clicked for me. I kind of can't get past the original and also those Scooby-Doo movies.
Well, if you're listening right now and you have a favorite Scooby-Doo thing that we haven't mentioned, and there's like you're like, what about this movie? You haven't talked about this movie. Email us at spookaramaradio@gmail.com, and let's find out about these movies. I'll make Little Miss Hornard watch them. We'll tie her to a chair, and she will watch them until her eyes bleed.
Oh, that's lovely.
And then we'll have knowledge on these new Scooby-Doo-like things. So someone set a record recently. In Vancouver, which is in our neighbors to the north, Canada, for owning almost 1,200 Scooby-Doo-related items.
Oh, my.
It's like you with cats. This girl likes a lot of her Scooby-Doo.
Oh, I like cats, but not that much. I mean, Scooby-Doo is less aggravation than cats.
I don't know. He doesn't talk very well.
No,
so it might be aggravating to try to have a conversation with him.
Well, it's aggravating to have a conversation with the cats. but I would say if you bought a Scooby-Doo, like a stuffed Scooby-Doo, I mean, he's going to be pretty easy to take care of. He just sits on your bed. He doesn't throw up on your floor, make messes, knock things over, cost money.
Oh, Scooby-Doo would throw up on your floor if he had the opportunity to do it. I know that Scooby-Doo is very popular with, like, theme parks. There's a lot of rides based on Scooby-Doo. I've ridden a lot of Scooby-Doo-based rides. Have you ever ridden a Scooby-Doo-based ride?
I don't think I have, Ron. I don't think they had them when I was going to amusement parks. And I've been to exactly one since I was a teenager, and that was with you. And I didn't see any Scooby-Doo rides there, so...
Well, one of the theme parks that I would go to all the time was the kids' area was Hanna-Barbera-themed when I was young. Okay. So there was a Scooby-Doo roller coaster. That was the only roller coaster. Wow. Well, my first roller coaster, actually, was the Scooby-Doo roller coaster.
Oh, I wish that they'd had that where I went. They didn't have anything like that at Hershey Park.
Then later there was a Scooby-Doo like dark ride where you would go through the ride and you would, you know, shoot at targets.
Oh, boy.
Trying to, save Scooby. Or I don't know what. Get points. I don't know what the overall story of the actual...
I'm sure if that was Ridley. Me, Scooby would have died, because I wouldn't have done a very good job of saving him.
But maybe I'll post this picture I have of myself driving the mystery machine that they had set up there.
Well, actually, when I visited you, I saw the mystery machine driving down the street not far from where you work.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, Scooby-Doo has pretty much invaded pop culture to the point where it's Americana now.
That was amazing. And I don't know if that person painted that themselves, like bought a van and painted it that way, or if they bought it that way. But I've seen those online, like where people have bought a van and painted it and done the inside to look like the mystery machine. And they are like $100,000. So yeah. That was amazing.
And now Scooby-Doo is solving mysteries with WWE wrestlers.
I know. And Kiss.
And they're solving mysteries. With Kiss, they have a DC Comics has been running Scooby-Doo comics since the 1970s.
Wow.
And they just put out a new version of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Comic book. This started this past May. And it's are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? It's a post-apocalyptic Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo himself is a cyborg.
Oh, no.
It's very strange drawings of our favorite Scooby Gang characters. And this started back in May, so it wouldn't be hard to collect all the issues. I don't know if I need Shaggy with one of those dastardly dick curly mustaches. I think I'm good. We should mention that the characters have progressed over the years, like Daphne and Fred are no longer together. Daphne is no longer a klutz. She's more self-efficient. She knows karate and self-defense. Shaggy sometimes is a vegetarian. Sometimes he's not. So things have happened. They've not been static since 1969. It's always good to have some character growth in your cartoon, no matter how old it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to mention some major pop culture, like some major ways that Scooby-Doo has affected pop culture. Now we have the Scooby ending of a movie where it's always somebody pretending to be somebody else. It's not a very popular ending, but it does happen from time to time. Maybe most importantly, if we have fans of Buffy the Vampire Slayer out there, they called their group the Scooby Gang because they didn't really solve mysteries as much as they just beat up demons.
Yeah, it definitely reminds me of the Scooby Gang, though, those guys.
So we all have that going for us. There's actual Scooby snacks now.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy dog biscuits for your dog or your little brother.
Yeah, I was gonna say they have like cookie type ones, but they also have I've seen the like gummy snacks as Scooby snacks too. You know, the gummy sweet ones.
I was just talking about buying the Scooby snack dog biscuits and feeding them to your little brother.
Oh, I was talking about the ones for the people.
I don't have a little brother. I've always wanted to make someone eat dog biscuits.
Oh, God. That's good. I'm glad you don't. No one to abuse.
Maybe next time you come to visit?
You have plenty of people to abuse. You don't need a little brother.
We've seen Scooby-Doo crossovers because he's a very popular character that people want on their shows. In everything from Robot Chicken to Johnny Bravo and beyond. I'm kind of surprised Robot Chicken did one where the Scooby Gang was trying to solve a mystery at Camp Crystal Lake.
Yes.
And they unmasked Jason, and I can't remember who it was. But I'm surprised we haven't seen them more with like modern horror villains. And by modern, I mean villains probably from the 1980s. I'm trying to find, you can play a version of Clue that's based on Scooby-Doo, because why wouldn't you be able to?
They have all kinds of great things. I was just looking at the Scooby-Doo blanket that's adorable on Amazon. I mean, they have a million kinds of games, and you can build the Scooby-Doo mystery machine, I mean, lunchbox.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a mystery machine model out there as well. There's Scooby-Doo live action movies that have come out on like the Cartoon Network. I watched one of those, and it wasn't too bad.
Mm-hmm, me too.
If you have a weird, like, weird Scooby-Doo item, email spookaramaradio@gmail.com. Let us know about your crazy Scooby-Doo item and why you love it so much. Until then, Little Miss Horton, do you have anything else to say about Scooby-Doo? Where are you?
I do not.
We may come back to Scooby-Doo a little later on and check out some of the weird stuff, like the 13 ghosts of Scooby-Doo, which is kind of messed up. Depends on what our listeners want us to talk about. So, until next time, that's all she wrote for Scooby-Doo. Thank you for listening to Spookorama Radio. Special thanks to Claude Immaculate for the opening and closing music. Special thanks to Jacob Ellis for the cover art for this episode. Subscribe to us on iTunes, on Stitcher, or wherever else you catch your podcasts. Write us a review on iTunes or wherever else you're catching your podcasts. Like us on the Spookorama Radio Facebook page. If you have a question, a comment, or an idea for a new episode, please email us at spookoramaradio@gmail.com. Most importantly, if you liked what you heard, please share with your friends, relatives, and other spooky people. Until next time, stay spooky, everyone.